Romans chapter 7, verse 7 through 25, is really a complete whole. However, a division of Romans 7, 7 through 25 is Romans 7, 7 through 12. And it's those verses that I want to handle with you tonight. I think we've had great years in the Corps working the Word. And maybe every year you think it's the best. But I have felt that our work in the book of Romans this year has been just fantastically fantastic. I think perhaps it's been the most comprehensive and detailed work that has ever been done in the book of Romans. At least I would like to think so, and in reality I'd like for it to be that. Here in the seventh chapter of Romans, we are dealing with the most controversial section of Scripture in the Bible, chapter 7 of Romans. It is not only the most controversial, but it's the most misunderstood and the most neglected section of the Word of God, because they've had great difficulty with it. Been great controversy between the legalists and the liberals over this section. The real truth is, most people just don't like to touch it. They just walk away from it. They read it and then they don't do anything with it. But I set some of the great principles for you in the last teaching session, or the last two great teaching sessions previous to this one, that will have clarified a lot of things which I will simply have to just walk into tonight without any detailed explanation of. In verse 6 of chapter 7, it says we should serve in newness of spirit. This walking in the newness of the spirit, or the newness of the life core, the walking in newness of life and serving sin are absolutely incompatible. We have been delivered, as it says, from the dominion of sin and from the dominion of the law. Those two are not identical. They have a lot in common, but they're not identical. The dominion of sin and the dominion of the law. Yet there is a great vital difference between the dominion of sin and the dominion of law. As I said, serving sin and then living in newness of life are incompatible. So deliverance from the dominion of sin that Christ accomplished for us, and then trying to serve sin and live in it afterwards, totally incompatible. Secondly, the dominion of the law, the fulfilling of the law, that dominion of the law, the fulfilling of it is when we walk in love. Walking in love is the fulfillment of the law. First and great commandment, Jesus said, you love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. It's the first and great commandment. It's walking in love that gives you the deliverance from the dominion of the law. It's the fulfilling of the law, not the letter of the law, not the dominion. That law is holy, it's just, and it's good. It says so in verse 12, which we'll conclude with later on tonight. The law is what? Holy, the command, right, good, right. Holy, just, and good. In chapter 8 of Romans, it says in verse 4 that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. The righteousness of the law. That word righteousness is that word dikaioma, D-I-K-A-I-O-M-A, meaning the requirements of the law. That word is translated ordinances, judgment, justification, and righteousness. It's used 10 times in the New Testament. Now, serve in newness of spirit and not in oldness of the letter. Oldness of the letter of the law. It's talking about the oldness, the law, the letter in verse 6. Not in oldness of the letter. You can walk by the letter of the law and not have 1 ounce of love in your heart. Show you that later on. You could fulfill the whole law and not have 1 ounce of love doing it. We serve in newness of spirit and not in the oldness, the law, the letter of the law. Because you can carry out the letter of the law and not have any love of God, no compassion, no sympathy. Then, verse 7, what shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin but by the law. For I had not known lust except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. But sin taking occasion by the commandment wrought in me all manner of concupiscence. For without the law sin was dead. For I was alive without the law once. But when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. And the commandment which was ordained to life I found to be unto death. For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and by it slew me. Wherefore the law is holy, and the commandment holy and just and good. Just by a sheer reading of it, your mind will immediately say, that's a real difficult section. It does. For most of you, it's your mind's still all screwed up on it because you don't understand it. You're just reading words. That's why I said it's one of the most controversial sections in the Word of God. One of the most difficult, one of the most misunderstood. As some believers might think that grace gives them an excuse for sin, so some believers might think that the law is incompatible with the holiness of God and God's ability to save. This section of God's Word repudiates that by a series of logical deductions which terminate in verse 12. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. By the law is the knowledge of sin. Romans 3, verse 20. Therefore, by the deeds of the law shall no flesh in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of what? Sin. And in 4:15, because the law worketh wrath, for where no law is, there is no what? Right. If there was absolutely no law, with the emphasis on the word absolute, if there was absolutely no law, there could absolutely be no transgression. But there has never been a time when there has been no law. Before the giving of the Ten Commandments, there was a law. It is the unwritten law. There's still law. In chapter 4 of Romans 14, for if they which are of the law be heirs, then believing is made void, and the promise made of none what? Because the law worketh wrath. For where there is no law, there is no transgression. But there's always been law. Nay, this is 7:7. Nay, no, that's not accurate. Howbeit is much better word. Howbeit, I had not known sin. literally, I would not have realized it to be sin as such to the degree of guilt. But, the word but is if not by the law. Now that makes it simple. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? How could the law be sin if God gave it? If God is righteous and just, then God gave it, then that law could not be what? Sin. That's axiomatic. Howbeit, I would not have known sin. I would not have realized it to be sin as such to the degree of guilt, if not by the law, if the law had not been given. For I had not known lust. This shows the nature and degree of sin and guilt. It uses a concrete example, lust. I would not have known, recognized lust. And it uses lust in the sense of the old nature, the old man. Except, if not, same word as the one, if not by the law, for I had not known lust, if not, the law had said, thou shalt not covet. It is the law that made them cognizant of sin and the degree of guilt. Sin is the foundation. It's the old nature, the old man, dead in trespasses and what? That's the foundation. Lust, or the old man nature, is simply a manifestation, an evidence of that old nature. You understand? That's why throughout this whole section, you'll see the renewed mind. Without the renewed mind, you'll always be walking on the old man nature. And you'll always be in the dominion of sin and under the dominion of the law. This is the great section on renewed mind. It's renewed mind all the way through. If not the law had said, thou shalt not covet. First part said, not known lust. Thou shalt not covet. To covet is a strong desire. It's the old man nature. The old man nature, a strong desire. You know, to put himself under bondage, under law, or to so kick the traces that there is nothing at all that he has to do, which I started by saying that grace gives them an excuse for sin. That is this great seventh verse. Verse 8. But sin, taking occasion by the commandment. This is the second argument here. Taking occasion by the commandment. The word occasion needs to be clarified for you. It is the Greek word aphorme, A-P-H-O-R-M-E, long E. Comes from apo, A-P-O, meaning away from. And the word hormao, H-O-R-M-A, long O. Aphorme means a base of operation. It is used in war as the main base of operation for the extension and the execution of the war, carrying it out. That's its usage. It's a base of operation, but sin, taking occasion. The base of operation by the commandment. This word is used in 2 Corinthians 5:12. Look it up. For we commend not ourselves again unto you, but give you occasion, a base of operation to glory on our what? Behalf. Chapter 11, 2 Corinthians, verse 12. But what I do, that I will do, that I may cut off all occasion from them which desire occasion, that I may cut off all base of operations for those who desire a base of operations, wherein they can what? Glory. In Galatians chapter 5, 13. For brethren, you have been called unto liberty. Only use not your liberty as a base of operations for the flesh. You see how when you work the word, kids, it clarifies. You just study the other usages in context. And many times that gives you great illumination, adds a great deal of knowledge to your heart and understanding. But to, by love, to serve one another. 1 Timothy chapter 5. I will therefore, 14, that the younger women marry, bear children, guide the house, give not a base of operation to the adversary to speak reproachfully. Isn't that something? Now, Bullinger translates this opportunity. I don't think that's a strong enough word. I do not think it's the in-depth greatness of the integrity and accuracy of the word. I think the word base of operation is much more solid than the word opportunity. That's why in Romans 7, verse 8, but sin, lambanoing, a base of operation in the war between the old man nature and the new man nature. Newness of life. Dominion of sin. Dominion of the law. A base of operation. And it's a war. It's a war. You're always fighting the old man nature. Because you're putting on the mind of what? To the end, we have the renewed mind. We have a base of operation against the enemy, which is the old man nature. Understand? But if you're going to walk by the flesh instead of the spirit, if you're going to walk by the letter of the law after you're born again, then your base of operation for the war will be the old man nature. That's why people always fight. That's their base. Old man nature, old legalism, old law, old this, old that. That's their base. Wrought in me, but sin taking occasion by the commandment. Base of operation by the giving of the commandment. Wrought in me all manner of concupiscence. The word wrought is the Greek word katerga. Zomai, katergazomai. It means working. Working to the end of the far-reaching effects, results, but sin. Taking, lambanoing a base of operation by the commandment worked a far-reaching result. In verse 13, it is the same word that is translated working. Middle of the verse. But sin, that it might appear sin, working death in me, working death. That is this word translated wrought in verse 8. In verse 15, that which I do. See that in 15? Put a little line under it if you want to. That's the word. Now in 17, it ought to be there. No more I that do it. I that do it. I that do it in 17. How about 18? 18. There it will be. How to perform that which is good. 18. But to perform that which is good. And verse 20 has it. It is no more I that do it. It's no more I that do it in verse 20. And that is this word translated wrought, meaning literally a working out, a far-reaching effect. Sin, having a base by the commandment, working out a far-reaching effect. Beautiful, beautiful. See, it's the principle of sin that is being handled here. Without a law, the sinfulness of sin is never fully realized or understood. But sin, taking occasion by the commandment, wrought in me all manner of concupiscence. That word concupiscence is basically the same word as the word lust that we had earlier. An old man nature desire worked in me a far-reaching effect, the principle, all manner of desire to lust. It's what the law did. I said to you earlier, you could carry out the law line by line and word by word and have no love doing it. That is simply external conformity. And that's why the law cannot give salvation. By the law can only be the knowledge of it. It cannot give you eternal life. Look at Philippians 3. I said to you, it external conformity to the law is absolutely possible. Look at verse 6. Philippians 3, 6. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, I was what? Blameless. He had an external conformity. He carried out the law legally. But to carry it out legally and to have the love of God in your heart are many times poles apart. He carried it out, but he was completely wrong. Look, under the law, they were to tithe. You could tithe without having in your heart the joy of giving it. If you gave your tithe, would you carry it out? Logically. But if you're real angry about it, teed off, you hate it like H to do it, you still would have fulfilled the what? But, you see it? The heart. That's where the greatness of all this shows up in here. But sin, taking occasion, wrought in me all manner of desire to lust. All manner of desire to lust. For, apart from, without, apart from the law. Apart from the law, sin is dead. Not was, is. I said without the law, the sinfulness of sin is not fully realized or understood. A man can have an external conformity to carrying out something. But in his heart, he is bitter, he is negative, he is everything else. Didn't Jesus say to the Pharisees, they carried out the tithes even to the degree of the mint and the anise, whatever it is? But they had omitted the weightier matters of what? Right. See that? What a tremendous section in the book of Romans. Well, verse 9. For I was alive. The word for is the word and. And I was alive without the law once. He was physically living. He was physically living before he gained a knowledge of the law. I was alive once, and I was alive without the law. He didn't know how off he was. That's how he was alive. People today do not know how far off they are because they do not know the accuracy of God's word. They think they're right, but once you show them the greatness of the word, then they see how far off they really were. He's really setting up something beautifully here. And I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived. When the commandment came, when the law broke in upon my understanding, upon my awareness, that's when sin revived, came to life. That's when I recognized it. He never knew how dead he was until he saw the law. Then he realized that he recognized for the first time how dead he was. And that's why it says, and I died. And I died, meaning knowing that I was separated from God. It is spiritual death. I died. He didn't die physically. He became knowledgeable of his separation from God. Of the law, he said he was what? Blameless. But he was totally dead. He just didn't know how dead. Then it broke upon him, gave him an understanding. Boy, it's just the truth of Paul's experience, like on the road to Damascus, all of those other things that happened to him. Then the renewing of the mind. See, there's always been law, either unwritten or written. Today, we walk by the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. It's also law. Until you see that, you just don't know how far off you are. Israel, the law, then they were able to recognize how dead they were without God and how separated they were from God. But they prized themselves, like the Pharisees, on tithing, mint, anise, remember all that? They kept the law mentally. They washed their hands. Remember the statement to Jesus? Your disciples do not what? Wash their hands when they eat. We do. They carried out the letter, but they lacked the heart. And without the heart, the letter is meaningless. That's what this great section of Romans. Verse 10. And the commandment which was ordained to life. The commandment which was ordained to life, the two is unto, was ordained as italicized. I found to be is in italics unto death. And the commandment unto life, which unto life I found unto death, was itself found of me to be death. Why? Verse 11. For sin, taking or finding, lambanoing occasion, just like verse 8. See? Verse 8. Sin. Verse 11. Sin, taking occasion, lambanoing occasion by the commandment, deceive me. This verse 11 is like a parallel to verse 8. Deceive me. The word deceived is the same word that in Genesis 3 is translated beguiled. Deceived. It is the Greek word exapatao, long O. See what in Genesis 3 is said of the serpent who beguiled Eve, who deceived her, is here said of sin. For sin, deceived, beguiled us, and by it slew us, dead in trespasses and sins, without God and without hope. And then finally, verse 12. Wherefore is so that the law is holy? Why is the law holy? Because it came from God who is holy. Capital H. No impurity. And the commandment. And the commandment. Like the ten. The commandment. Holy and just and what?
Good.
The commandment. Holy and just and good. Why? Because it came from God who is capital H. That's why the commandment has to be holy. It's from God. And just. Just is the word righteous. The commandment is not only holy, it is right. Righteousness. It is right. And finally, it is what? Good. It is good. Where is that scripture where Jesus said, there is none good but my Father? Where is that? Boy, that's how this first part of this last section of chapter 7 of Romans finishes out in verse 12. Matthew 19. Behold, verse 16. One came in and said unto him, good master, literally wonderful teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, why callest thou me a good or good? There is none good but one, who is God. Who is what? God. Then Jesus could not have been what? Just another verse. See? God is holy, God is righteous, and God is good. That's why the law, the overall, is holy, and the Ten Commandments, that was holy, righteous, and good, because God, none good but God. Yep. It's quite a context of the reference in Matthew 19. None good but one, that is God. So that the law is holy, but salvation is not by the keeping of the law. Paul kept the law and was dead. That's how he was, just dead. All of us are dead in trespasses and sin because of the dominion of sin as well as the dominion of law. Well, those are verses 7 through 12. For this, the great closing session, and I think it's tremendous because we again end up with God, who is holy, who is righteous, and who is good. And I'm real thankful to that, because for most people, God is not so good. He's a meanie. He makes people sick. He injures people. He hurts people. But isn't it wonderful to know that the true God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ is holy, He is righteous, and He is good. None good but God. And by the way, that word good literally is to benefit you. That beneficial is the word. Holy, righteous, and beneficial. It benefits you, the recipient, the believer. That's the greatness of this section, to the best of my ability and understanding.